backpack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, September 3rd. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant, and it is officially week one. Game on, baby. Game on. Officially out of fantasy draft mode. I have no best balls going on right now. I'm maxed out. I'm done. It's over. All my drafts are in the rearview mirror, and we're 2 days away from the start of the season. So let's go, baby. Let's go. So today on the podcast, I wanted to do a couple quick thoughts on, you know, just some tips to start the season out. I want to talk about the news. Obviously, we should mention Ricky Pearsall, which, crazy story. So lucky that nothing worse happened. Pretty amazing stuff there that he, you know, he was out of the hospital by Sunday. Like, just nuts. So we'll talk about that. And then a few other things as well. And then a bunch of emails from you guys. therantpodjr@gmail.com. FTNFantasy.com. Head on over there. Promo code RATPACK gets you 10% off. And we also have the ability to upgrade. Like, if you're somebody who wants to play DFS, for example, our DFS optimizer is pretty awesome. It's great for really anybody from beginner to advanced. Like, it's really easy to use if you're a beginner, you're kind of new to it, you want to create some lineups, you just want to optimize things. Cool. If you're a hyper advanced player, you want to max enter 150 entries in the Millie Maker, your bankroll is pretty big, but the tool works for you as well. And then this year, I'm going to have something cool over there that I'm not unveiling just yet, but I will be very shortly here for DFS purposes. So really excited about everything there. And it's really easy to upgrade. You can upgrade to the betting subscription as well. So if you have like a Fantasy Plus subscription, boom, upgrade, nice and easy. There's nothing better than getting a little DFS or betting in your life. So head on over to ftnfantasy.com and check it all out. Yes, week one rankings are out. Week one projections are out. They're all up there. So go check them out. All right, so before I get into the Ricky Pearsall stuff, I wanted to address two quick things. First and foremost, start sit. If you've followed me over the years, you know I am not a fan of start sit questions, not because I don't like the idea of start sit. Obviously, it's incredibly important. I think it's actually more important to be diligent about your start sit decisions than maybe any other thing in fantasy football. And it kind of runs contrary to what I often see people do. Like, I will see people be very, very conservative in fantasy drafts. And then when the season starts, they make the craziest start sit decisions that you'd ever think of. You know, starting guys who are like wide receiver 48 over guys who are like wide receiver 18 because they have a perceived better matchup. That is not a good approach. And if you don't have an approach to making start sit decisions, then maybe this is the year to get that approach. Now, my approach is very, very simple. And this is why I don't like the whole idea of start sit questions, because my approach is to start the highest ranked player. The highest guy in my rankings is who I'm going to start. Now, I think that kind of gets lost on people, like the whole point of rankings. That's the whole reason why. Even though we don't overtly say it, that's the whole reason why we do rankings. To tell you who you should start. So the whole notion of like a start sit question where you go onto social media or you call into SiriusXM or whatever, those are, honestly, I think that you guys have been misled by the fantasy industry, and I've been doing my darndest to try and correct that. Because, you know, the process is ask a fantasy question, get a fantasy answer, and then do whatever that answer is. And then usually blame the person who gave you the answer when it goes wrong, right? So what I'll see people do is they'll go onto social media, they'll ask 15 different fantasy analysts their start sit question, and they aren't going to get a universal answer unless it's something like really obvious. And then that only serves to confuse them. So my advice when it comes to start sit is pick the ranking source that you trust the most. Now, if you listen to this podcast, it's not like I have a million listeners. Like, I see the downloads. Shout out to the one person in Thailand who's downloading. I see the downloads, and I know there's probably about anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 people who listen to this, unless you're downloading on multiple devices. And if that applies to you, thank you. But that's not a lot of people. Chances are you probably trust my rankings. You might even subscribe at ftnfantasy.com. Well, there you go. When rankings are final for me, which is usually around 12:30 Eastern on Sunday afternoon, right before kickoff, that's when I make my start sit decision, right? And I go with the highest ranked guy. That's it. That's what I recommend for you guys to do. Now, if that doesn't apply to you, maybe you're here for, I don't know, my voice or whatever. I don't know why you're here, but if you're here for another reason other than trusting, you know, my advice, my rankings, my analysis, et cetera, then whoever you trust the most. Like, I'm not going to be offended if you use Mike Clay's rankings or whoever, especially Mike Clay, but anybody, whoever you trust the most, and then start the highest ranked guy. And don't just do that once. Don't just do it in week one. Do it every single time. That's a process. Now, is it going to work every time? Of course not. Nobody's suggesting that it would work every time. But if you stick to a process with a good set of rankings that you trust, you're going to be right far more often than you're wrong. And you'll never have that instance where you are torn. Which player do I start? The rankings will be obvious. And even if it's like one guy is at quarterback 12 and the other guy is at quarterback 13 or whatever, then you start quarterback 12 every time, you know, and that's the process. And that makes it so much easier. Now that gets me to the point, the original point that I was trying to make though. We don't need to make that decision today on Tuesday. Yes, the week has started. Week one is here, but we don't need to make that decision. The first time we have to make a start sit decision is Thursday evening before Thursday night football. If you have any players going in that game, remember, take any Thursday night players out of your flex spots and put them in your positional spots. So if you have a running back in the flex spot and he's playing on Thursday night, like Derrick Henry, not that you would have him there, but let's just say that, take him out, right? Put him into your running back spot. But then otherwise, you don't need to make another decision until Friday night this week. Eagles Packers, if you have any of those players. And then you don't need to make another start sit decision until Sunday. And really, not even first thing in the morning on Sunday, really right before lock. Otherwise, we're just wasting energy. You know, people will say to me, I know you hate keeper questions. It's like, no, I don't hate keeper questions at all. Keepers are very important. I just don't see the point of answering a keeper question in May when there's months of stuff that could change. Even here, it's not months, but there's a lot of time between now and Sunday. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then? Projections evolve. You have practice reports that, you know, we need to get to the final practice report of the week. We have so many different things that are going to take place between now and Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, that why worry about that? Let's worry about other things that are more pressing right now. And one of those things happens to be waivers, which is the other thing that I wanted to bring up. Now, I did on the FTN podcast, the FTN Fantasy Football podcast last week, list off several players who may be available in your leagues. I'm not saying run out and pick them up. I think that's bad advice. You draft players for a reason, right? And the reason is not to drop them before week one. And if you didn't draft players for a reason, that's something to write down for future drafts. Like, make sure you're drafting players for a reason. Otherwise, there's no point in drafting that player. Now, you could have a situation like Ricky Pearsall, who we'll talk about in a moment, who is going to miss at least the first 4 weeks of the season now, where that opens up a roster spot. Sure. But otherwise, I find that very frequently, a lot of people think that if you're a more active player, you're a better player. And that isn't necessarily the case. You could be very active right now and drop like the next Devon Achane before the season even starts. This time last year, we had no clue that he was going to be what he was. In fact, we didn't even have that clue until about week three last year. So in being impatient, in making moves before the start of the season, you could have potentially cost yourself not a league winner type necessarily. Like, I kind of hate that phrase, but a difference maker for sure. Somebody who you drafted at a value. And yeah, the perception wasn't quite there until we got to week three. So just because you're active doesn't mean you're good at the game. You know, I find that with trades as well. A lot of times I'll answer trade questions saying, yeah, that just looks like trading for the sake of trading. And that doesn't mean you're good. It just means you're active. So I would exercise a lot of caution with waivers before the season starts. In some instances, yeah, you can avoid it. But in a lot of instances, you don't have to make waiver moves. You know, you're just making them for the sake of making them. One last thing that I wanted to touch on here regarding, I just mentioned practice reports. So the only practice report that really matters is the third practice report of the week. Otherwise, like, yeah, we'll get an indication of where things are trending. We can sometimes read between the lines on practice reports. Like if a guy is in the concussion protocol, misses the first practice, but goes limited in the second practice, that's usually a great indicator that he's going to clear protocol by the end of the week, by the third practice, right? Not always, but in almost every instance, right? But none of the reports really matter until that third one. For most games, the Sunday games, that third one comes on Friday. Now, obviously, that's not the case for Thursday Night Football. It comes on Wednesday. But regardless, why I bring it up is, like, if you go to your commissioner platform right now, ESPN, Sleeper, Yahoo, My Fantasy League, whatever, any of them, and you see a little Q next to the name for questionable, that's not the real designation from the team. Those are made up designations by the platforms. These players are not questionable right now. There's nobody with a questionable tag until that third practice report. That's when the teams will declare a player questionable, doubtful, out. You could be declared out at any point. Your status can change after that point for sure. You could be questionable, downgraded to doubtful, things like that. But on a Wednesday, these guys are not questionable. They're nothing. And I think that gets really, that's one of those things is very misleading about fantasy commissioner platforms. Now, I get why they do it, because they want to at least indicate to the user that something is going on with said player, but they're not official designations. Got to be really clear on that one. So we often really don't know much of anything until that Friday practice report for the Sunday games. Wanted to toss that out there because honestly, it's more of a public service announcement than anything. It should be more widely known, but it isn't more widely known. All right, real quick on Ricky Pearsall. Again, amazing that nothing worse happened. Like how it missed all the vital organs. Like that could have been very bad. Could have been very, very, very bad. So his mom over the weekend said he was in good spirits. He was released from the hospital on Sunday, and then he was placed on the reserve NFI list. So it's at least 4 weeks. Now, I will say this. If you have a short bench, you could probably drop him. You know, and it's not a knock on Ricky Pearsall at all, but, you know, if you only have 5 bench spots and you have no IR, that's just, you know, you can't eat up a bench spot with a guy who's going to be out for the first 4 weeks of the season, possibly longer. We don't know. So there, I mean, you could tuck him on an IR spot, but if I'm in a league with one IR spot, I want to use that spot more strategically during the course of the season. So I might even consider dropping him there, but I want to be clear on, you know, just the overall expectation. Regardless of when he comes back, let's put things into context here. On this offense, 49ers are pretty loaded. You have Brandon Ayuk, you have Debo Samuel, you have George Kittle, you have Christian McCaffrey. There's, I don't want to say 0% chance, but close to 0% chance that he's going to out-target any of those dudes. So what we're hoping for is the number 5 target in an offense. Even in a potent offense like the 49ers, that number 5 target is not going to see a lot of work. So this is more like if you were drafting Ricky Pearsall, it was for implied value more so than anything. So that just needs to be accounted for. Now, if I had 8 bench spots and an IR, you know, maybe I'm willing to, you know, play with things a little bit more there. I'm willing to stick around. Like I actually am in a situation where that's the exact thing that happened. So I'm willing to see it out because waivers is thinner there. But if you're in one of these shallow leagues, like your waivers is going to be so loaded that I don't think you need to hold on to him right now. It sucks. It really does. But I figured that would be, you know, a popular topic for a lot of people right now. The other popular topic is whether or not Ja'Marr Chase will play. I have no clue. I wish I did. I really wish I did. I have no clue if he's going to play in week 1. And that goes back to my original advice. Like people kept saying, would you draft him? And I'm like, well, I'm not you. So I can't really answer that. Because if I say yes, but my risk tolerance is way higher than yours, then that's bad advice on my part. Like I have high risk tolerance. I realized there was a greater than 0% chance that he could sit out in week 1. And I also realized if he sat out in week 1, if I took the risk and drafted him and he sits out in week 1, oh well, I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to start hating the world. I'm not going to also, as a result of me being emotional, make bad fantasy football decisions. But you might be different, and that's fine. Like if you're more emotional about that sort of thing, avoid those players. You know, it's one of those things that like fantasy analysts should say more often, and we don't. If there are players you don't like, don't draft them. If you can't handle wild swings week over week, like Gabe Davis type swings, don't draft Gabe Davis types. If you can't handle the potential of a player missing games to start the season or longer, then don't draft Jamar Chase. You know, it doesn't matter what I would do. It matters what you should do based on your approach, like your emotions, your way of handling these things. And there's nothing wrong with being emotional about, like, invested, passionate about it. But, you know, everybody is going to be a little bit different in that regard. So I wanted to bring that up. Also wanted to quickly hit on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He did land on reserve NFI. He's been dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, and he's going to miss at least the first 4 weeks of the season here. Hopefully everything works out for him. You know, that's definitely tough for him. But now the Samaje Perine signing does make more sense. Does this change the outlook for Perine? No. If anything, this just furthers my belief that Isaiah Pacheco is going to touch the ball a ton. We could see some Perine. We could see some Carson Steele. But overall, it's a lot of Pacheco. If I was going to cuff, which I don't, you know, again, I don't always feel the need to cuff. But if I was going to cuff Isaiah Pacheco, then right now it would be Perine. Nothing major, though, with that. All right, want to get over to some questions from you guys, therantpodjr@gmail.com. Keeper strategy and roster cap conundrum from Adrian. And boy, Adrian wrote a hefty email here. Let me see what I can do if I can process through this really quickly here. I think he is basically asking about keepers using the keeper value chart. Yeah, he is. He said the keeper value scores, here is the highest was CJ Stroud, Dalton Kincaid was fourth, Spears, Reed, Nico Collins. So here's the thing. Some of these guys aren't keepable. I wouldn't want to keep Jaden Reed or Tajay Spears if I can get away with it. You know, ultimately, Nico Collins would be a much better keeper option than those guys. So he's asking, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how you would approach making this type of decision. I don't include a lot of players that I think a lot of you guys include as keepable. Like Jaden Reed is not keepable. Tajay Spears is not keepable. You can get these guys in the draft. You're trying to keep as close to top shelf guys as possible. So you kind of, you know, you toss some of those guys out and then the decision becomes a whole lot easier. Okay, so let's get to a second question. It said, it concerns a rule change his league mates voted to implement. In the spirit of democracy, he asked all managers to make any suggestions to improve the league and then vote on the different measures. He said that as the commissioner, he recused himself from all the votes. I actually do that as well in the league that I'm a commissioner of. He said, unfortunately, that meant roster caps were passed. And now I have to figure out how to calculate that. I would have voted against this, but the people have spoken. He said, I'm leaning towards double the number of players you can play at a position. So, well, that's a problem, though, because if you only have two starting running backs, you're saying you can only roster four running backs. I think you have the main problem you have here is you voted on a vague rule. So now you're in a problematic spot. I would set them higher, honestly. Like I would say, like he said, you can play five wide receivers, so that would mean no more than 10. Like that's fine. I would just be careful about running backs, and I think that's probably the only one. But the original point I was trying to make is much more simple. In the future, you should have to require them to be very specific. Like this is a general rule as opposed to a specific. The roster cap for wide receiver is 8 or something along those lines. Like very, very specific. Like you kind of ran into a problem because the vote was not specific. I agree with you. This is stupid. It's antiquated. Position maxes is something from like the 90s that I definitely do not like. I would rather have the ability to manage my roster as I see fit. And I'd rather give every manager in my league the ability to manage their rosters as they see fit. But yeah, I think your approach of doubling it is fine. Just be careful with running back. All right. Brant checking in. He is still loving the pod. Good. I haven't screwed it up just yet. He said he went 0 RB in a super flex draft, ended up with Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb. Nice value. Garrett Wilson, Mike Evans, and DJ Moore. Wow. Then 14 quarterbacks came off the board and the tight end wheelhouse. He said, my round 7 to 10 running back zone hit at the same time. Well, in Superflex, it isn't 7 to 10. The earliest it would be 8. Said he ended up prioritizing Herbert and Cousins, then went running back, Monty, Najee, Pollard, Singletary. That's actually pretty nice, and missed the tight end wheelhouse. Yeah, you can't get everything. Ended up with Brock Bowers and Dalton Schultz. I probably would have just drafted Brock Bowers, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have cared about Dalton Schultz. He said, curious how you would have played it. I think you did it right. I mean, I can't see the board, so I can't fully tell, but it's definitely much more important to get the quarterbacks. It's much more important to get your running back room of those zero RBs, which you got four of them, and you got four really quality options. I don't know if all of them are going to hit. I know that, you know, there's a distinct possibility that they don't, but some of them will, and you got good ones. So as far as I'm concerned, I think you hit this right. I wouldn't have really gone any other direction. I'm curious if you passed on a wide receiver for Bowers, though, but, you know, that's kind of nitpicky. Said he ended up going with Sam Darnold. Oh, no, he said he went with Baker Mayfield as opposed to Sam Darnold as his third quarterback. I actually picked Sam Darnold as my third quarterback in one of my home leagues just because I knew I would get him for free at the end, and I did. So that was the whole reason why I did it. Either way, I don't think you made any mistakes at all there, Brant. Eric, Shallow Keepers. All right, he said, big fan of your work on Sirius, loving the new podcast. I love that people think this is new. He said to him, I'm joking, of course. But thank you, Eric. I appreciate you, man. He said he's in a 10-team, two-keeper league with no penalties. Okay, so there are no penalties. The keeper decisions are really easy. Just keep the two highest-ranked guys. He said he's keeping Henry and Collins. Would I consider altering my strategy away from Hero RB? No, I mean, you already nailed Hero RB. You have Derrick Henry. So I would be hammering wide receiver early. Load up there. Ideally, you get a bunch of guys who are higher up in rankings than where Collins is, and then, you know, rock and roll from there. But since I already checked the box of getting an anchor RB, I would not be drafting any other RBs early. That would just be too robust for my liking. Nathan is a longtime listener, annual subscriber since the PFF days. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that so many people came over from PFF. It was really obviously a big concern when I left there because, hey, a lot of people found me at PFF. But it seems like a lot of you guys came over from PFF to FTN, which is awesome. I appreciate that. So he's been in the same league for 12 years, and I helped him win some championships along with some top three finishes. Nice. Good stuff. All right, 14-team league, one keeper with a penalty. They start one quarterback, two running back, two wide out, a flex tight end, five bench spots. Oh, that's brutal, man. In a 14-teamer, I get it, but nah, I would want no fewer than six. I think six is the right number for the way that, you know, it would be 6 to 8 based on how many starting spots you have, or 6 to 7 based on how many starting spots you have, not including their defense, but five is a little light. He said he kept Bijan in round one, ended up with Mike Evans, DK, Neighbors, Jaden Reed, Roma Dunze. Nice. He said he couldn't bring himself to pick a wheelhouse at 4-1 with Kelsey, Laporta, Kincaid, Andrews, etc., all off the board by round three. Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine. So he said the league goes a little bit crazy at times. Yeah, I could see that, especially with running back. Okay, so he's ended up with Jerome Ford, Jonathan Brooks, who's not going to play until at least week 5, and Zach Charbonnet. Woo, risky. Caleb Williams is the quarterback, dart throw at Taysom Hill. Okay, his question, should he have altered his draft board more given the league tendencies being a 14-team league to get a better RB2? No, there's one spot that I'm willing to be light at. It is the second running back spot. So no, I do not think at all that you made any wrong moves here. And, you know, you actually set yourself up with a little bit of juice with Brooks. It's just going to take some time. But the good news is you have that time because Jerome Ford is going to get a lot of run. Now, I don't love Jerome Ford, but I'll tell you right now, he's going to be a fringe RB2 in week one for me. He already is. Like, it's up. He's a fringe RB2. He's a top 25 guy. So I don't hate that at all. And then on top of it, now, you're sitting here with, you know, a plethora of dudes. You have a really nice starting spot, Evans, DK, and Neighbors to roll out there in week one. Jaden Reed and Odunze give you a lot of flexibility on your bench. And to all the ding-dongs out there who say, well, you can only start three wide receivers in this league. Well, guess what? I guarantee you don't start just three receivers the whole season. Like, Nathan's not going to start just Mike Evans, DK Metcalf, and Malik Neighbors. It's impossible. It actually is, because they have bye weeks. And you never know what's going to happen during the course of the season. So giving yourself more ammunition at wide receiver, whereas on, you know, at running back, you could pick up running backs off of waivers, even in a 14-team league. So, no, I don't think you did anything wrong here. It's a little rough in 14-teamers. It is. It's always going to be. But I don't think that that you did at all. He said, FYI, I definitely heard a joke or two and one trade request given my depth at wide receiver. Yeah, they're going to do that. People make fun of things they can't understand. But good stuff, Nathan. All right, let's go on to Adam. He's got a question about Samaje Perine. Given Perine's late signing by the Chiefs, he's unsure about his value among the other top handcuff RBs. Okay, so he did draft Isaiah Pacheco. He has Najee, he has Tajay Spears, he has Jerome Ford and Tyler Algier. Curious why you drafted Tyler Algier. Anyway, he said, I feel their value is higher than Perine's and I'd be reluctant to drop, he said, A.D. Mitchell. Yeah, I'd like to hang on to A.D. Mitchell and see what happens. He has Purdy, Caleb Williams. See, that's the one thing. I wouldn't have drafted a second quarterback if I drafted Purdy, but since you already did, I'm not dropping Caleb Williams. There's no way there. So at this point, I don't know if there's really a move. You drop Algier, you kind of hand him over to the Bijan manager, which I don't really love that. I'm not 1,000% convinced that Perine's value is lasting here. Like, there is a world where Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back in week five, and then he's back to being the handcuff. There are a lot of different things that could happen there. So I would just be, you know, I'd be cautious. I don't think there's a need to make a move for you, Adam. All right, moving over to Chucker, and it's just called Cuff. He said, I had a draft over the weekend where I went in with Kyren as my keeper, and I was planning on prioritizing Blake Corum as the cuff. However, somebody in the league overdrafted him well before I was even considering taking him sixth round. He said, should I be concerned that I don't have him as a cuff? No, I don't think so. You know, it stinks, but in instances where I don't get a handcuff, because I don't go out of my way. It's not as if I draft Kyren, therefore I have to get Blake Corum. I realize Blake Corum could go before I pick him. And so I have that mindset during a draft that that way, if Blake Corum goes, I'm not tilted. I don't make bad decisions as a result. And if I don't get him, all right, well, I'm just going to make sure I have enough depth to sustain if Kyren Williams goes down. Like, that's what it's all about. And I think that gets lost on some people, that you can have good running back depth even without a handcuff. And that'll help you get by any sort of injuries. All right, two more emails left. Let's go to Aaron's. He said, two quarterback draft. He said he followed my two quarterback 2.0, the Superflex 2.0 board. He wants to know what I think. All right, well, let me rip through this quickly. Listen off people's teams is not exactly the most riveting podcast material. He went Jamar Chase, Bijan Robinson in the second. Oh, it was a keeper. I was like, whoa, can I get in your league? Garrett Wilson, Jaden Daniels, Trevor Lawrence. My sense is you probably went quarterback too early. Let me count off his quarterbacks here. And yeah, I was right. So this is QB12. He went Jaden Daniels. So that's not at least 12 quarterbacks. You might have cost yourself a little bit at wide receiver. I like the Trevor Lawrence in round five. And honestly, it looks like you probably would have been fine with Lawrence. And then you still could have got another quarterback in the next round. I mean, it's nitpicking a little bit. He managed to get DJ Moore, though, so I guess that makes up for it. In the sixth, Dalton Kincaid, Rashee Rice, that's really nice. Waits until nine to hit running back up. Goes Stevenson, Singletary, Spears. Looks like you overdrafted running back, though, because still goes Chase Brown and Tyler Algier. I would have hit up wide receiver in that range. Again, a little nitpicky, but I only want four running backs in this format. It's only 15 roster spots, so anything more than that, and I just don't have enough wide receivers. He drafted Jaden Reed at the end. Oh, no, kept Jaden Reed at the end in round 15. Overall, not too shabby. A few nitpicky things, like I said. All right, Matt said, week one waivers. Ah, there you go. And by the way, I'm not going to do the who would you pick up email questions, who would you start, email questions for obvious reasons. I'm going to have all of that information at ftnfantasy.com. But let's see where this goes. All humor, Matt. He goes, thanks for the informative and entertaining show. He's been listening on Sirius. Oh, I was going to say, like, this podcast isn't the most entertaining. The radio show, I try to be like an entertainer, but here, this is just me, which I'm not very entertaining. But anyway, he's been listening for 3 years. Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. In a 12-team league, one keeper, he said there's no dummies in the league. That's cool. Yeah, it makes it harder. I like a challenge, though, no doubt about it. He said he was lucky enough to draft Achan, so he gets to keep him in the seventh round. They get a two-round escalation each year. So he ended up going Hero RB, and here is the roster. Brees, Olave, Debo, T, Trey McBride, Xavier Worthy, Achan is the keeper, Brian Robinson, Trey Benson. That's interesting. I'd be curious of who else was there because, yeah, he doesn't have a pathway to a big role, at least initially. Then he goes Tua in the 10th. Feels a little early for a quarterback. Jacoby Myers, Zach Charbonnet, Bo Nix. Were quarterbacks like scooped up like crazy in this draft? It's hard for me to tell without seeing the board. Braylon Allen, Ricky Pearsall, and then defense kicker. So he said Pearsall, he's going to put him on IR. Who should he pick up? Josh Downs, Gabe Davis, Michael Wilson, Rashad Bateman, Andre Yoshivas. I mean, I don't love any of these guys, but I guess Gabe Davis because he has a high ceiling. However, if you can't handle that, if you can't handle the Davis, then Downs, I don't think Downs is going to play this week, at least the initial indications here. Michael Wilson's kind of buried in the pecking order, and you already have Trey McBride. Rashad Bateman, are we really doing this thing again? And then Yoshivas. I mean, I guess Downs, but he's not going to play. So really, it'd be Gabe Davis, unless you can't handle the boomer bust nature of one Gabriel Davis. All right, that's going to do it for today. TheRampodJR@gmail.com. I will be on TV tomorrow. So make sure you watch that other pregame show. We're doing the NFL preview, the season preview special. So that's 5 to 7 Eastern on CBS Sports Network. I'm going to do a couple hits on some fantasy and then some betting stuff. And so no podcast tomorrow. We won't be doing podcasts on The Rant on Wednesdays anyway. So I'll be back on Thursday. We'll set us up for a little Thursday night football. And then we're off and rolling. Remember, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Upgrade, man, if you want to. Upgrade to the DFS or betting packages if you're already a subscriber. There's going to be a lot of goodness there and a lot of money to be made this year, I think. At least that's my take. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram as well at Jeff Ratcliffe. People have been pressuring me to do TikTok. We'll see. We'll see. I haven't ruled it out, okay? I'll at least say that. But I'm not going to do any goofy dances. Maybe I will. Who knows? All right. I'll catch you on Thursday for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff and I'm out.